If you can see but not hear, you will get frustrated. But what if you can hear but not see? Is that better? Next on Table Talk. Hey, today we have another special guest on our Table Talk. I'm Kyle Gatlin, one of the pastors at Covenant Methodist Church. And on Sunday mornings, most of you can't see him, but without him, you could not hear. And today on this podcast, you actually can hear him, but you can't see him. Does this sound like a riddle? Maybe it is. But hey, welcome, Alan Gothard. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Kyle, and yourself?
Doing great, man. Listen, let's go back to the beginning. You've been part of what we are doing at Covenant for a while now. How long ago did you actually start, playing with the band was the first connection, right?
Yeah, so it's coming up on about 5 years ago, actually. Almost 5 years ago.
Wow, did not know it had been that long.
Yeah, it flew by. I didn't even realize it myself until I sat and counted it, and I was like, oh, wow, I've really been here that long playing with everybody.
Yeah, and so 5 years ago, how old were you when you started then?
Gosh, I was 20.
Yeah, very, very young, very young. So now you're obviously mid-20s, and last August when we asked you to come on?
Yes, sir.
All right, so last end of last summer we had a change and needed some help with our sound and technology, mainly obviously with running the sound system on major services, particularly Sunday mornings. That's obviously the focus that everybody would know week in and week out, not everything else. So you started part time because you had another job, right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah, I was working at the UPS store. Still am on the weekends sometimes.
Yes, yeah, it's nice.
Sparsely.
Nice little side gig. Get away from the routine of what's going on here. So, tell me about this process, because we knew you had a passion for this, and we saw it as far as the sound and stuff. What's been that process like, really, since you had to be in a flash, literally, you had to pick up stuff because you didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot of leadway time for you to actually slowly move into you had to jump right in the fire. That's what I'm looking for. You jumped in the fire pretty quickly as it pertains to our Sunday morning production with sound. So what was that like in the beginning?
Yeah, so coming from my background, just mainly as a gigging musician, I had dealt with a lot of analog music equipment and things like that, mixers, but nothing quite to the scale like we have here at Covenant. So jumping on board, it was a big learning experience, going to learn a giant digital format and learning all of the connections and figuring out where they go myself. And that was like putting a puzzle together backwards, and I'm still getting some of those pieces straightened out, but we're getting there. And honestly, it's just been a wonderful experience getting to learn how to model a sound in a three-dimensional space. Because most people think about sound coming through speakers is just, it's in your head, but it's actually like a three-dimensional image wrapped around your head of sound. You can control what way it's coming, if it's in stereo, the right or the left side, how loud it is can make it feel closer or farther away, different compressions. So it was just a great learning experience getting to come in here and take hold of a production from a musician's standpoint. Coming to the other side of the processing, it's just been like lifting the veil, like the Wizard of Oz, like pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, right? But now I am that man, so paying a lot of attention to what's going on.
Yeah, and obviously, if you sit in the balcony on a Sunday morning, you will see Alan, right?
Yes,
yeah, sir. People in the balcony. But most of us downstairs will not, you know, we can't see you, basically, right? Even when I'm standing on the stage, I barely can see you.
Yeah, those lights are bright up
there.
Yeah,
I know you're up there. I know you're up there. I'm assuming since 20 years old, you were playing guitar and singing with us. I'm assuming you've been a musician most of your life. How did that passion stir in you?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Probably the biggest musical influence in my life was my grandfather. He was a drummer in a rock band in the 50s and 60s in high school. And so he always was a very musical man, walking around whistling, singing. He pretended he could play guitar, and it was cute for us kids. And then, but that really spurred me to learn, seeing him do that kind of thing. And so he got me started on a drum set when I was probably 10 years old. We found one at a garage sale, and I started playing on that. And I really enjoyed rhythm, and he really showed me how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, what a rhythm really is. And then after that, I branched out into French horn in middle school. I played that for 9 weeks, and I said...
Which, for those of you who are listening, is one of the more difficult instruments to play.
Brass is, and French horn in general.
Because of the French horn, because of the mouthpiece, right? Yes. It's smaller than all the other mouthpieces in the brass, if I remember right, right?
Yes.
Right? So it's not for the faint of heart, right?
Or the faint of ear.
Yeah.
No, it was a great instrument, but I played that for 9 weeks, and I decided that I really wanted to go back to rhythm, and so I joined the rhythm section in the band there at Wetumpka Middle School. I've moved around a lot in my life, but that's where I got into that. And when I was in the band there, I joined the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. I was in a production there in A Christmas Carol. I played Peter Cratchit and Boy Scrooge, and we had to learn some... Christmas carols and things like that.
They do that every year, right? Don't they do the Christmas carol almost every year?
Yeah, just about. Yeah. I think they still run my year's commercial.
Okay.
But that was my first introduction to a professional production side of things. And that really had a lasting impression on me, especially learning how to sing in a choir. That was my first like choral experience. And then from there, I really dove into musical theater instead of instrumentation. And so for, gosh, how long was that? Maybe 7 years, I took a break from music and went into theater, but musical theater. So I was still singing, but I was more focused on my acting at that time. But with those connections being made, I met the music scene in Enterprise, the rock music scene, because we had a lot of common connections in theater.
Right.
My friend Wade played bass guitar in a band called Atomic Subculture. And there was a drum kit backstage one day from the show choir. And we both looked at that thing and were like, man, I want to play that. And he was like, hey, wait, you're a musician? I was like, yeah. So we end up going to his grandma's house in some 90-degree attic playing on an electric drum kit and a guitar, trying to figure out how to play music. But that was really the... If I had to pick, that was the start of me grasping being a musician and playing, creating, practicing, and getting better. I think that was really the true point right there, was me and Wade in that attic playing together, creating music.
Yeah.
That's where the first musicianship really presented itself.
Yeah. So you were technically, most of your initial experience was one on the other side of the board, right? Right, so now you're behind the board. Is that just something that because of our connection with you that you started, or had you started that before we connected with you? Yeah, I just want to know how. I don't remember.
So man, yeah,
I know a little bit of the story. I can't remember everything. Yeah. Right, I rely on like Trey and Juan and them to tell all this stuff. Right.
So basically, being a gigging musician around here, there's not a lot of sound guys. So if you want to have a good sound, you kind of have to learn to mix yourself. So that's where I kind of picked that up, was mixing myself on little analog mixers around local bars, things like that.
Yeah.
Nothing special, just a little thing, just playing around with the EQ and the recording. But then when J&W Music opened in Enterprise, they had a studio in the back, an actual real deal recording studio, the whole nine yards, bulletproof, soundproof wall, everything. And so my buddy Wesley, he was the W in J&W, he showed me a lot of mixing, and I did a lot of studio work in there, actually just like playing piano and some like country music stuff, acoustic guitar, things like that. But I really tried to pay attention to him while he was running his massive sound desk, running Pro Tools, and still don't like Pro Tools, but still tried to pay attention to him as much as I could, because he had a full-on degree from Full Sail he's just phenomenal guitar player, Wesley. And I just try to pay attention to him in that studio environment as much as I could, trying to absorb as much information as I can to then store it and use it. So that's where I really learned my my mixing background. Just recording myself with friends, paying attention in studio environments when I'm there to record, and live mixing myself. That was my
And obviously mixing in a studio and mixing for a live audience is different.
Vastly.
It's different, and the added, I guess the added challenge that we have here is you really have basically three audiences, all right? Because you have to mix so the band can hear themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have to mix for the congregation inside the building, and then you got to mix for those who are watching online.
We can add the choir in there too.
So four audiences. That's right. That's a juggling act every week, isn't it?
It surely is.
And of course, unfortunately, you get your phone blown up probably every Sunday in the middle of either one of the services or both, because somebody in one of those three can't hear, right?
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, yeah. So how you handle that frustration of trying to balance those three things?
Really, it's just a ranking of importance. Just trying to delegate what needs to be done and in what order, how it's affecting the main mix versus individuals, things like that. It's just a very big process of delegating, because with the live sound, if it was the studio, we could say, okay, let's pause, we'll fix it and everything. But running live, I have to make sure the big show's still running fine, and then I have to delegate exactly which part needs to be focused on more. If it's about to change and needs to be adjusted to a different setting, things of that nature.
Yeah. Actually, I forgot there's another audience, because there's actually two different audiences in the congregation. The congregation that's not under the balcony, those.
Oh, yeah. They're top under and the bottom and the lobby.
Yeah, in the lobby. Under the balcony and lobby, we get a lot of different moving parts each and every week. Trying to get them coordinated is a challenge. And I want to thank you for continuing. You have truthfully been somebody that has been willing to keep learning and to keep adjusting, and so I appreciate that about you. Tell me some more about your personal life outside of music and outside of the production stuff. Tell me more a little bit about Alan.
Well, lately, outside of the music and production stuff, it's just been sleep. I like to, really, that's kind of hard. Music is my life. Even when I'm at home, I like to just pick up a guitar and just play around. But that really is a core fundamental element to my existence, is music. I also really enjoy studying archaeology, history, science, things like that. If I say this to a lot of people, I'm actually one of the worst musicians for actually listening to music. If you see me sitting by myself, hardly ever am listening to music. I'm listening to a podcast or something, but I like to play music.
Right.
But I try to keep learning as much as I can constantly. If you're not, then you're stagnating and forgetting and not improving. So I really like to try and learn a lot. That's one of my big things.
One of the things that you did for fun happened last December. Tell us about that.
Refresh my memory.
You went south? You went to Florida last December, did you not?
Oh, yes, yes. So I sang in the Candlelight Processional at Disney World. That was my second time doing that, actually. That was a absolutely massive experience doing that for a second time. You just get there and you're in a massive choir, like hundreds of people. And being in the area that I'm in, you don't really get that kind of a choral experience where I'm at. But when you're meeting with multiple colleges, multiple schools worth of people gathering into a massive choir at Disney World, it's magic. I mean, that's where magic happens. And it's one of those real deal production environments where you get to see the cogs turning and the things that make the machine run. backstage at Disney World. And that's something a lot of people don't get to see. And that's really cool and interesting to take a step backstage. We got to meet Joey from the New Kids on the Block. He came back there and talked to us. He told us he actually got his start in the choirs there too at Disney.
Was he the narrator for this?
Yeah, he was narrating. Okay. Yeah. And our conductor, I can't remember his name, but he was just the most energetic, phenomenal man. He had everybody laughing, but engaged. Like, it was loose, but it was serious. Yeah. It was super engaging, excellent at his job. The musicianship, witnessing the orchestra on the stage for real Disney musicians, that is something to behold while in the on the stage, not just the audience. You have to kind of remind yourself to not watch, but participate, and you have to remember, you know, composure and not just like fanning, like, oh my gosh. But it's a golden experience.
So this is twice you've done this now. For those of us that do not go to Disney, particularly during December, because we have other commitments during the month of December, right? A lot of folks don't make it down there during that time. You know, a lot of our folks will do the summer experience and spring break, and maybe, I don't know. So tell us exactly what that was about. What does Disney do specifically during this time, during the December time of year?
Yeah, so mainly where our event was taking place, and I kind of just gravitated to that area, not so much around the theme parks when I went, but it was Epcot where we took place. So that was kind of like a World Vision experience, the different ways that the nations celebrate that time of year, that holiday. You can venture around the circle. It's like a giant lagoon surrounded by, I believe it's 12 countries.
So all what everybody else does during Christmas.
Right.
Right? This is what the theme is for December, or probably after Thanksgiving or something like that.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay. And that time of year, they had a little bit of Christmas decorations. They had a big Christmas tree in the middle, but I definitely think it's where I was at Epcot. It's a more of a world experience rather than a typical Christmas experiences you'd see from the lens of United States.
Right.
But definitely still the holiday cheer and Christmas, but not a typical one like you'd see.
So again, what kind of music and what's the narration involve?
Okay. So yes, in the candlelight processional, he reads the, what's the name of it? The All Through the House, Not a Creature Stirring.
Oh, the Christmas Carol thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
He reads that. And then he also read some scripture from the Nativity, Jesus being born, the wise men coming down to see him.
So this is a combination of some secular and
absolutely
and biblical narrative from the Nativity,
they
right?
They definitely recognize that it is a Christian holiday, but they bring in those secular elements as well just to make it appealing for a wider range of audience, I guess, is how you put
that. Yeah, I couldn't, you know, when you said candlelight, whatever, I didn't know exactly what went on, if it was just the biblical story or a combination.
Thing. So, I mean,
so you're singing traditional Christmas carols?
Yes, absolutely. Shout for Joy, Silent Night. We actually sang part of that in German.
Yeah.
Stille Nacht. What other songs?
Which originally was played on the guitar, if I remember.
That is correct. Right. That is correct.
So have you learned to play Silent Night on the guitar?
I did.
Okay.
I believe that was Francisco Torrega, maybe. I might be wrong, but that's a phenomenal, phenomenal classical guitar player.
Yeah.
But
and you had to try out for this, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So don't tell anybody, but it was our, when I was in college, the first time we went, we sent an audition tape with our choir. Dr. Thomas submitted that tape again, and so the choir that was currently there was not technically the choir that auditioned, but we had enough people that were in there still that I think it was fair.
Like, so the same audition tape twice?
Yeah. Okay. I told him, I said, Dr. Thomas, you don't put me in that video. You know you got to bring me again, and he said, okay.
Was it Enterprise State?
Yes, ESCC.
Group? So the, so the Enterprise State Community College Choir, the current choir from last December, plus Alan. Is that right?
And a few others.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, some other alumni?
Yeah, the community. Well, they branched out to the community. It wasn't just the actual students choir, but the community choir.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. I just knew you went down there. I didn't know the process. Only thing I knew was that you had to try out for it, and I didn't realize that you. I was wondering, you had to submit a single video of yourself.
It was my mind. Choir submittal, It was our 2018 choir when I was in college there. We recorded the submittal video, and then he just submitted it twice. So we had a really good choir my year. Yeah. Got a lot done.
All right. Well, great. Anything else you do for fun?
Well, I play video games. I like strategy. Management type things, historical based, but mostly I really like trying to learn new things and see how it can be applied to my life and the things that I do.
Yeah,
that's really my big thing.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing all this. So tell me a little bit. If you will, how much you want to get into this is totally up to you, but you're working at a Christian church. You're working where the gospel is proclaimed week in and week out, reading the Bible. So what is it about this atmosphere that has kept you here literally for 5 years?
Well, the big thing to me about a church is that it's about God. And not about the church, or at least the people in the church. That's something I see a lot of in modern times, that people are using the venue of a church to glorify themselves and not God. And that's not done here. All glory is to God here. And that's super important to me from a religious perspective. I mean, Jesus warns us about snakes in the grass in coming times, where people will be professing his word, but for the wrong reasons, for their own ways, denying the word, changing the word. And you just have to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. And so really where that breaks down ultimately in the beginning is going to be glory to yourself and not to God. And so I would definitely want to be where all glory is to God and not to self.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And even though a lot of what you do seems to be making sure an individual is heard or a group is heard, we're hoping that the individual voices, whether that comes from a person singing, a person playing, or a person speaking, we're hoping we're all pointing people to God. And you help facilitate that. And I think by you having that spirit, I think that plays right along into being a part of a group effort from everybody on staff and all of our volunteers to help make that happen. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that. Again, I appreciate your passion for what you do, but also your spirit in which you do that. Yes, so this has been Alan Gothard. He is what's your title? I forgot.
Audio engineer, sound guy here.
Okay.
I think
we told you whatever else we needed done, right?
Yeah.
So you're I think you inherited by me just saying, oh, you're doing the podcast. Is that? I think you're actually going to edit yourself today for this podcast,
yes,
right?
So, podcast so, producer. There's
yeah,
another one.
Yeah, yeah. So not too many names to put on the business card is what it is. Well, appreciate you, man, and we will not see you on Sunday.
Hear you next week.
You'll be up there. You'll let us hear, and we'll know you're up there. But we will not sue you unless you're in the balcony. All right. Thanks again, Alan.
Absolutely.
Y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.